In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you, who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Sometimes when we try to delve into things and to understand the depth of something, we tend to neglect the simplicity. For example, the simplicity of love is trust, faithfulness, respect, caring, etc. But when Valentine's Day comes along, we go so far and beyond to try to express our love, the genuinity of our love, with the stems of roses and the teddy bears and the chocolates and what have you. And we neglect that truly love is simply respect and caring, and as I mentioned. The same happens when we read our holy scriptures. At times we try to delve too much into the meaning and the reason behind it, and we tend to sometimes forget the simplicity of our Christian faith. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, and we're going to look at some verses. We're going to discuss a few verses that are so simple, but yet we neglect, but they're so important. Matthew 16, 23, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with the holy angels, and he will repay each man according to his works." Simple, right? No theology there, no liturgical meaning, no tradition, tradition examinations, etc. It's simple. When the Lord returns in the glory of his Father, because he is God, praise his name, with his holy angels, the ministering spirits, then he will repay each man according to his works, what he has done on this earth. So I think if we wake up in the morning and always remind ourselves that today the Lord could return in the glory of his Father with the holy angels, and he will repay, recompense, he will judge, and he will reward and recompense and repay according to his righteous judgment. And he will repay according to our deeds, our works, St. Paul goes on to say, whether good or evil. Now, I understand that we need to, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, add to our faith virtue and onto our virtue knowledge and etc. That is only to keep us focused and awake, that one day the Lord will return. That when he returns, that we are not slumbering in comfort zones, in complacency, in slothness and laziness. Luke chapter 12, verse 37, here's another one of those verses that we take for granted or sometimes overlook and maybe just read but not ponder on. Luke 12, 37, "Blessings to those servants whom, when their Lord, Jesus Christ, praise be to his name, will come, he shall find while they are watching, awake." They're awake. They're not slumbering. "Amen," which means yes, or truly, or verily, "I say to you," Jesus is speaking here, "that he," that is Christ himself, "shall gird his waist, and he shall make them recline, that means he will sit them at the table, and he shall go through and shall wait on them or serve them. Did you hear that? Did you pay attention? See, or is it one of those verses we just read? No, I'm too busy. I need to know what does grace mean, saved by grace. I need to understand this. Well, that's simple, but sometimes people make it so sound so difficult. But just listen to this. Jesus is saying, let me summarize it and paraphrase it. When I return and I find you a watchful servant in prayer, in scripture reading, let me ask you, do you pray? There's a personal question between God and you, and I'm asking it on behalf of God. Let's just put it this way. Do you pray? And if so, how many times? How effective? In reverence? Or just do the sign of the cross and say, Ya Alaha, O Lord, O God? Do you pray effectively? Do you pray kneeling on your knees, prostrating with your forehead on the floor before the cross of Jesus Christ and the Holy Scriptures, the gospel, beating on your chest and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. I am not worthy to call your name because my mouth is filth at times. I am so drenched in sin. O Lord, have mercy on me and hear my prayers and supplications according to your loving kindness. See, this is being watchful in prayer. Do you pray when you wake up in the morning, or the first thing you do is check your social media? Do you wake up? Is your alarm a simple alarm, or is it a rock and hip hop? And you know, I'm a little bit old for this music, but you know, it's one of those fancy rap music and fancy music that you wake up to. Let me tell you, my alarm clock is Madna Khaysa Pra Lahu Maryam Shabkhinan. At the rising of the sun, Lahu Maryam Shabkhinan, we glorify you, O our Lord. That's what I wake up to. So when we wake up, do we immediately talk to God and thank Him for waking us up, for giving us life? Do we immediately thank Him for the eyes that we can see, the ears that we can hear, the mouth that we can praise with, the legs that we can walk, the straight path that He has set for us, the hands that have been made to do good, the mouth that has been made to praise? Do we thank Him? Before we eat, do we praise the Lord and thank Him? When we're in trouble, do we cry out to the Lord? See, this is being watchful in prayer. What about our scripture reading? These are the obligations of a Christian, to read the Holy Scriptures. Guys, go and take that Bible that's on your bookcase, gathering dust, or it's under your pillow to bless you so that it will keep the bed bugs away. Bring it out, open it, undust it and read it. Do we read the Holy Scriptures? Do we have a plan, a daily plan to read the Scriptures? Not, oh, I get these motivational verses every day and I get these verses on my phone. No, you open the Bible, and I mean hard copy Scriptures. You set some time, you pray and ask the Lord to grant you the wisdom to know the meaning of the word. It's St. John Chrysostom's prayer. And you actually open, tangibly, touch it, open the Bible, you know, flick the pages in reverence and read the Scriptures daily. See, this is being watchful in our scripture reading. Do we attend church regularly? You know, at first it was every Sunday. Now we're compromising. You know, I shouldn't say regularly. I should say every Sunday. Every first day of the week, Chag Shabbat, I wake up in the morning. I make sure I've had a good night's sleep so that I can wake up in the morning. And again, praise God that I made it to the first day of the week and that he will give me the blessings and the grace and the mercy and deem me worthy to enter his holy gates in reverence, his holy courts in reverence, and attend church. And when I enter church, I actually enter the house of the Lord. I walk into the nave, the courtyard. I do the sign of the cross, which is the power of the Trinity upon myself, the victory of the cross upon myself. I take peace from my brothers and sisters that are already there, the peace of the Lord. That's what you do when you walk into someone's home, don't you? You knock on the door, you walk in, you say, hi, how are you? You shake the hand, you hug them, you kiss them, and then you go and sit on the couch and you continue in conversation. Yeah, we come into the house of the Lord, we do the sign of the cross, we kiss the cross, which is the humanity of Christ, which is Christ himself, the crucified one, Sliwa, the crucified one. We go and take our seats and we continue to converse with our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what we say? Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy, Lord. Have mercy on me. And then we listen to the liturgy. We participate in the liturgy. We sing, we praise, Qadisha Allah, not murmur and mumble. Praise, sing, La Khumara, unto you, Lord. And when the priest is reciting the prayer of absolution, that is God himself giving absolution, we beat our chest and we say, Lord, have mercy on me, forgive me, deem me right, deem me worthy to dare to approach the holy mysteries and partake in your holy, all-sanctifying body and blood. And then when we do, with a humble and contrite spirit, return back to our seats, not head out to the parking lot or into the hall because there's fellowship. No, we go back to our seat and we continue to thank God and praise him and offer our utmost gratitude for deeming me as your servant, unworthy servant, that grace, that worthiness to take part in your all-sanctifying body and blood. This is being watchful in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Do we help those who are in need? Are we ready to forgive when someone asks for forgiveness? Are we ready to show mercy when someone asks mercy so that mercy with a judgment with mercy is also passed on us because we have shown mercy. See, this is being watchful in our Christian life as servants. And Jesus says, amen, hey. You know, you've heard when parents say, hey, I will. Yes, you know, yes, I say to you that I will put on my towel or my apron, my waist, I will gird myself and I will recline you and you, I will serve you. I will sit you down. That means I will take away the labors. There will be no more labors when the Lord returns. There will be a life without any annoyance. No more Bible study, no more podcasts. Guys, no more podcasts, no more Bible studies, no more preaching in the kingdom of heaven. If we are the watchful servants, ready to receive our Lord with good deeds, according to Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, then he will recline us. You see, think about that. You know, I could close this program now and say, go away now, think about it. Go and ponder on what we've just discussed. This is why Jesus will sit us down. He will sit us down in eternal rest. He will distribute his endless blessings immeasurably, beloved, because we know that Christ is able to always, by his almighty power, to do for us even more than we ask or think. Ephesians 3:21. It's like, but wait, there's more. That was Luke 12:37. And he will serve us, beloved. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we shall have suffered, we shall also reign with him. You know, each time I dare to start complaining about my difficult circumstances and situations, this verse comes to mind. Now, I'm not going to tell you I become a hero and I say, bring it on, I'm ready to take any suffering. No. But this verse rebukes me, and it should rebuke us, that when we suffer for Jesus Christ, remember, for Christ, not because it's our fault, because we have been foolish and we bring suffering onto ourselves. No. When we suffer for Jesus Christ, we will reign with him. Do you know what reign means? Not rain that is coming down, not showers, rain. We will have authority with him. The angels will be singing glory to God when we are being lifted, according to Thessalonians, when we are being lifted and exalted in the same cloud that the Lord was taken up into heaven. We will be entering the kingdom of heaven if we suffer for Jesus Christ. When you do something for Christ's sake, as extreme as taking a spittle, ruqe, for Christ's sake, we will reign with him. I always mention this. He took our spittle. He was spat at, beloved. That's why he is reigning. He is Almighty God, praise and glory be to his name. That spit was for the human race. That's why Jesus took on flesh. That's why God incarnate, God took flesh so that he could take that spit. That he knew that he would reign. And that promise is for you and I, see? We neglect these verses. We're too busy. Oh, well, you know what? It's not easy. It's hard. Why should I suffer? Why should have Jesus suffered for you, oh, you fool? Why should have Jesus suffered for you? Because he loves you. Because he wants you to one more time be reinstated to that glory that your race was with God in paradise, but even better, in the kingdom of heaven. Reign with him. Have supremacy in grace. Have supremacy in glory. Eternal bliss. I can only imagine. Third day, right? I can only imagine. No, I can't imagine. I'm sorry. You cannot imagine, because when you imagine, then you put St. Paul's words, make them void. Because Paul says you cannot even imagine. The thought has not even crept up to your mind, and there is no way you can imagine what God has prepared for you and I. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for the affliction of the present time, you know, we're whinging, we're complaining because we have difficulties at work, finances, relationships. Are you serious? Relationships. For the afflictions of the present time, whatever it may be, though very small and light, you think the whole world has come down on you? Those afflictions are small and very light according to the Holy Scriptures. Those afflictions are preparing for us great glory without end forever and ever. St. Paul writes to the Corinthians in his second epistle. But then to rain on our parades, and Paul continues, but if we shall reject him, he will reject us. If it's unbearable, I'm going to throw in the towel, he will throw in the towel. If we reject the truth of Jesus Christ, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Vishnu, no, Jesus Christ, beloved, the only Son of God, the true Son of God, through whom only we can enter into the kingdom of heaven by the grace of God, which is Jesus Christ. The grace of God is Jesus Christ. So we can only enter the kingdom through Jesus Christ, beloved. If we reject Jesus Christ, if we have not accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, then he will reject us. Simple. I don't care how many cups of sugars you've given your my neighbor gives me when I ask him for sugar. It doesn't matter how many times you stop by the way and help someone change the tire because they've had a flat tire. No, without Jesus Christ, God says in the Old Testament, these deeds are dirty rags. You're still in sin. You still have the punishment of sin. You need to be cleansed through Jesus Christ. If we reject him, he will reject us. Jesus goes on to say in 9:26, and whoever shall be ashamed of me. See, again, these are the verses that we just read simply. Let's just read it. Oh, let's go into now, let's talk about what the end times are going to be. The end times means the Lord returns. Simple as that. There's going to be judgment. Simple as that. You don't need to sit down and calculate. These are all deceiving people. These are evil people. Those who want to sit down and bring out a calculator and start calculating, I'm sorry, you're limiting God's wisdom, knowledge, timing, and infinity of wisdom, endless wisdom, wealth of wisdom. You're limiting it to the calculator, to the calendars, to dates and times. No. Simple. When the Lord returns, he will judge the world. And whoever shall be ashamed of me, you're ashamed to do the sign of the cross normally as we do at church in a restaurant? Why is it that at church we are so free and so confidently we'll do the sign of the cross, but in a restaurant we'll scratch our chests because we don't want someone to see me. I don't care if it offends anyone. I don't care. Because I'm not doing it to offend people. I'm doing it for the glory of God, for my salvation, and in thanksgiving to Jesus Christ. If you are ashamed of me and my words, if you're ashamed of speaking about the evil of abortion, of homosexuality, transgenders, if you're ashamed because you don't want to offend someone, well, listen, I would rather offend someone, a friend, a family friend, a cousin, a relative, then see him or her burn in eternal hell. I would rather offend now so that offensive may bring to repentance. If you are ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. So he's going to come in the glory of his Father again with the holy angels to judge every man according to their deeds. And those who are ashamed of him, Christ will be ashamed of them. St. John Chrysostom comments, whether a person is saved or lost, the gospel continues to have its own power. If I am a thief, the gospel has power. Thieves, idolaters, homosexuals, rivalers, those who are drunkard will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Just because I am one of those, it does not mean that the Holy Scriptures have lost their power. No, they still have their power. St. John Chrysostom goes on to say, the light, even when it blinds someone, is still light, isn't it? Honey, though it is bitter to those who are sick, it is still sweet. It's bitter to me. I'm sick. When you drink water when you're sick, it takes so bland. I mean, water is bland, but it's not refreshing. There's a funny taste in your mouth when you're sick and you're drinking water. So also the gospel has a sweet savor to all, even if those who do not believe in it are lost. Whether people accept us or reject us, the Christ that we portray, beloved, the Christ that we reflect, the Christ that we attest to in our lives is the Savior of the world. Simple, isn't it? Let me finish with this, Matthew 32:12. Whoever will exalt himself will be humbled, and whoever will humble himself will be exalted. What a simple yet such a difficult asking. Maybe we need to focus on these simple things, to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. Let us be the one to extend the hand of friendship and reconciliation even if the person has exploded my forehead, even if the person has put a hole in our hearts, even if the person has truly hurt us and offended us by what he has said or done, but we still extend the hand of reconciliation. Because while we were yet sinners, beloved, Christ died for you and I. Let's look at the simplicity of Christianity and let's complete it, live it, honor it, practice it in its fullness, so that when the Lord returns and he finds us watchful, engaged in such deeds, he will truly recline you and I both, so that we may share in that glory with him. Praise and glory be to his holy name, now and at all times and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.